Business 650 presents Ciders, Sodas, and Cocktails, the RTD show, and the ever-changing world of refreshed beverages and cocktails in a can. We'll discuss the brands. We'll meet the people behind the innovative ready-to-drink beverages hitting the market. We'll talk trends and the future of the industry. It's the fastest-growing segment of the spirits industry today. This is Ciders, Sodas, and Cocktails on Sportsnet 650. And here are your hosts, Joe Leary and Legacy Liquor Store brand ambassador, Daryl M.
This is indeed the RTD show, Ciders, Sodas, and Cocktails, broadcasting on Sportsnet 650 AM, also at 96.9 FM, HD3. I'm Joe Leary, along with Daryl Lamb, the brand ambassador of Legacy Liquor Store. Daryl, it is now the month of February, and we've got a pretty good show lined up. But first and foremost, how did January fare in the RTD world?
January was awesome. I mean, you know, everybody talks dry January, but, you know, this is a different world. And dry January lasted about 7 minutes before everybody piled in. And RTDs are where the growth was. I mean, we saw a slowdown, like maybe wine drinkers took the time off. Spirit drinkers, they had all got loaded up at Christmas, so they didn't need to, they got all the gifts that they needed. So yeah, it was the real RTD kind of thing. And now this is it. The hustle's on. My desk is filling up with all the new offerings, all the new kind of products. Everybody's getting ready for March 1st, the big launch day in the RTD world. I predict, Joe, it's going to become a thing. Like, ultimately, like, March 1st, you're going to see lineups at stores. What's the newest kind of trend and fad in the RTD world that's going to explode? I mean, this is what I'm doing right now, is prepping for March. Some of the guys are going to get a little early and get out in February, and we're going to talk some real cool new stuff.
Well, we do have some real cool new stuff on this show, but when every time we talk about the RTD world, we have to sort of pay homage to the king, and that is White Claw. White Claw continues to just sort of be the leader in this industry, and I noticed in the store you got a nice big display of the mix pack. I understand, I hear word, you told me, I think on a previous show, that there's new variations of White Claw's styles and flavors coming down the pipe.
Well, one of the cool things about White Claw is it's very much a grassroots kind of company. It's British Columbian based, right? It was created by a British Columbian. We knew about it in the States first, but it's definitely here. They're very egalitarian in what they do. So they were listening. And if you follow them on Instagram, if you were DMing them on Instagram, if you were tagging them on Instagram, they were, listening. And there are indeed two brand new flavors launching March 1st in British Columbia. Raspberry, which is number 3 in the world for them, and the most requested flavor from Canada was the watermelon. So yes, mm-hmm. indeed, the White Claw watermelon's there. And, you know, 2020's in the books. And the thing that I found really interesting is White Claw was number 1 in BC in the category by miles, and they only launched, they didn't get the full year, not like the kind of the older brands that were here. And I think the most interesting thing was, if you just break it down to sheer number of units, White Claw outsold Corona in British Columbia.
Now, I know that because of the pandemic, people's normal everyday lives have been hampered. So a lot of places, perhaps, or a lot of people are not venturing out into restaurants and bars anywhere near as readily as they used to. But are we seeing more of the White Claw types of RTDs available in these establishments?
Well, that's the interesting thing. I think, to their detriment, I think they're a little bit behind it. And I think there's still a lot of that old school mentality. You don't have kind of that youthful vigor in some of the kind of, like, calling the icons of the on-premise world. They're just still, they don't understand White Claw. White Claw's not really meant for, like, 60 and 70-year-olds. It's just not their gig,
right? It's 46-year-old men on their sun deck, isn't it?
46-year-old men on their decks, right? That's the way to go. And ultimately, I think the bars and the restaurants are a little bit behind it. They should be. They should absolutely have, like, a bucket of claws. You got your patio. It's beautiful, sunny, and cold in Vancouver all week long. This is where, if you're on the patio, get a bucket of claws. And when you're doing takeout, get a bucket of claws. Like, you know, you send your pizza and a six-pack of White Claw away. That's where the market is.
Now, you recall, Daryl Lamb, that when you were about to bring in White Claw, there was a little bit of a difficult time getting supply. Are they prepared for the onslaught? Because if there's two new flavors coming out March 1, I'm going to bet there's people walking into Legacy and other LRS stores on March 1 looking for the flavors.
Well, this is, and that was my concern. I said, where's it going? So I've already pre-bought pallets of each flavor to make sure that I got my supply. That's the one thing everyone knew about Legacy, was when everyone else was out of Claw, Legacy still had Claw, simply because I knew what it was going to be. We, like, you and I have hosted RTD for two now. This is our third year. You know, some of the older stores still kind of stuck in the 20th century, maybe didn't know what it was. They still got doors of you know, kind of Molson old stock and Rainier brewing. But ultimately, Legacy is where it's at, and we're going to make sure we're not running out.
Well, you can't convert everybody. I've been doing a craft beer radio show for almost, well, over 10 years now. And some people, old school drinkers, still refer to it as flavored beer. So it's not craft to them yet. It's just that flavored stuff that we don't want to try.
Well, especially when you talk about craft beer today, it's all sours and everything. Yeah, exactly. I mean, basically, all tastes like White Claw anyway. I mean, I just had a Nanaimo Bar Porter.
Oh, my goodness.
It was delicious, but was it a beer? I don't know. But, you know, everybody's drinking RTD. It is what it is.
Now, speaking of new innovations, we have something that's launching also March 1st. Now, this is a really cool concept. We're going to talk to Damon from Super Collider, who is marketing the product. TK, Trevor Cayley's from the Donnelly Group. And they're doing a thing called Company Cocktails through Mod Beverage. And we've had Paul Morozik on a number of shows in the past. This is a professional cocktail. TK has created a drink called Lucky You. And this is a special cocktail being launched in a little stubby-sized can.
I love it. I mean, this is like the mixology wasn't born in Vancouver, but Canadian mixology certainly was born in Vancouver. And TK, Donnelly Group, they were on that cutting edge. TK's been a legend for years. You know, he's been all over the place, Tales of the Cocktail, all around the world. And for him to get into the premium can cocktail really shows where this market's going to go. And that's not something that you're going to find in Toronto. You're not going to find it in Montreal. You're not going to find it in Halifax. That's only something that can happen here because you got a great facility like Mod and legends like Trevor Cayley's.
And we'll talk to him about the trials and tribulations of creating a cocktail and having it mass produced and then put into a can, because it's kind of a new situation, but it sounds really exciting. So that's launching March 1st. As well, we're going to talk to our friend Eugene from Wise Vodka Soda, and they have well, it tastes like an orange creamsicle, but for legal reasons, it's just an orange sickle flavored vodka.
Orange sickle. I mean, it's there. I mean, I was talking with Eugene on the phone this morning, and I was like, please, when is my Dr. Wise going to come? And he's like, I can't make the flavor work. 23 flavors, impossible. But I think that orange creamsicle, I mean, they've hit it out of the park with this. They started out, this is your entrepreneurial, like, this is British Columbia, right? This is where these cool products get launched. And they had a little stutter step at the start and then came out with the root beer and the cream soda and the vanilla cola. And these have been big hits. The mixer pack followed, and now he's onto the orange creamsicle. And the best part is, it's still only 100 calories. It's still a vodka soda. You're not... I think you could drink three of these before you could actually eat one creamsicle.
Well, what I find is kind of interesting is that, and you can attest to this because you stock the products, you know how much shelf space you've got. The last thing you want is more companies doing the same stuff over and over and over again. So when you have a brand like Wise, they're clearly picking a lane. And they're pursuing that. And I wish him well. He's a good guy. It's a great company. And as you said, he's nailed it out of the park previously. So I can only imagine what the orange drink, again, that's launching March 1st.
Now, and this is the difference between Vancouver-based small entrepreneurial versus, say, like these giant icons of Toronto, where they're so far behind and they're coming in. I mean, I just sat down, one of the biggest vodka brands in the world, and like, we're getting into the vodka soda and we're coming out with a lemon flavor. I'm like, wow, you're only 7 years behind the curve. How different is your lemon from the other 75 lemons on the shelf? You know, it's just, this is why the dynamism happens in British Columbia. It doesn't happen in Toronto.
Well, and not only that, but, you know, like establishments such as Legacy. I mean, you basically are trying to lead the charge and trying to support local. So if a major brand is coming out with something that you already have in droves already, the likelihood of getting on your shelves has just dropped.
Yeah, no, and it's just because your brand's been around for 150 years doesn't mean that I'm going to stock your lemon-flavored vodka soda. You got to come out with something new. Give me something exciting. Give me some of those classic cocktails. You know, brand equity doesn't mean anything in terms of the alcoholic beverage industry. Mm-hmm. Brand equity is more about how cool, how clever, how interesting your product is. And a lemon vodka soda just isn't it.
We're also going to talk to a friend of the show, Mr. Sean Layton of Como Taperia, talk a little bit about the hospitality industry, how it's been affected by COVID. Is it getting better? Because I think there's a lot of people that are getting mixed messages from the government as to what you can and what you cannot do. I have a friend that used to be a restaurateur, told me the other day, he's not allowed to go into restaurants. I said, No, I don't believe that's the light. That's not the protocol. The protocol is you're not allowed to just casually saunter in and sit wherever you want. But there are people out there that are sort of hearing a mixed message from the government.
Well, I think that's the problem. I mean, it's been mixed messages since March of last year, you know. Yeah. We don't need travel bans. Oh, we need travel bans. No, masks don't help. Oh, you need masks. Now you can wear two masks. Like, there's just too many of these, like, backwards and forwards. Ultimately, I think personal responsibility is take your safety serious, wash your hands, make sure you keep your bubble small. And when you do want to go to a restaurant, and I go to restaurants a lot and I go to the places that I choose, I make sure I do it safely. There's really no difference between eating your meal at a restaurant or your own house, so long as you're not inviting 20 different friends and bawling out and you know, sharing drinks and doing all the crazy stuff that we all used to do back in the before times,
the old days, like a year ago.
Just all the way back in 2019. Just be safe and go and visit your favorite restaurants. Como's unreal. If you haven't been to Como yet, you got to get to Como. Make sure and when you leave, go to the Mercado and get yourself a tin of sardines, because you're going to need them the next day.
It is the RTD Show, Cider, Sodas, and Cocktails. You've got it on Sportsnet 650 AM, also 96.9 FM, HD3. In the world of body art, you want someone who is creative, innovative, and gets it. And that's Side Street Tattoo in Gastown and artist Devin Stacey. If you can imagine it, Devin can create it. Whether it's something simple, a full sleeve, or way beyond, it can be done and in a safe and sterile manner. So if you've been thinking about getting your first ink or looking to add to an already existing piece, talk to my friend Devin Stacey at Side Street Tattoo, 26 East Cordova in Gastown, online sidestreettattoo.com. We all love a good burger, and I found one that's a combination of In-N-Out meets Shake Shack. It's called Mimi's Burgers, a pop-up joint out of Glitch at 2287 West Broadway, two blocks west of Arbutus. It's a simple menu with four options: Mimi's Classic, Mimi's Cheeseburger, the Beyond Meat Burger, and the double-sized honey for the hungry burger lover. Great burgers, Kennebec fries, and they are good. Find out for yourself. Mimi's Burgers. Think Shake Shack meets In-N-Out Burger. 2287 West Broadway. The real deal. Mimi'sBurgers.com.
It's Vancouver's hottest selling segment in the world of spirits today. Cider, sodas, and cocktails. And you've got it exclusively on Sportsnet 650. Once again, your hosts, Joe Leary and Legacy Liquor Store spirits educator, Daryl Lamb.
We are back at AJ's Brooklyn Pizza Joint. This is the Cider, Sodas, and Cocktails Show, RTD Show, on Sportsnet 650. Along with Scott Thompson, who is the proprietor of the Odds. You tell us about your business, because I was really knocked out by what you do.
So it's Mad Laboratory Distilling, and we are a small batch distillery in South Vancouver. We make tons of great craft spirits using all basically handmade equipment. We use only locally grown grains, and basically, we're really, really hands-on, and we just produce a fantastic spirit. And today we're pouring out some of our cocktail series. So we have four of our cocktail series to try.
So let me go back to the origins, though. So how long has Mad Lab been around, and what was the impetus? I know you have a restaurant background.
Yeah, so I was in the hospitality industry since I was 19, and basically I think it was about 6 or 7 years ago when the BC government changed the liquor laws surrounding distilleries that would allow for these small producers to have a fighting chance, really. And so as soon as that happened, basically I started my paperwork, had no budget, no money, no business experience in terms of that other than just running bars and restaurants, but I knew how to distill, I knew my spirits, I knew my products, so just started from there, and it's been a long haul ever since. And
found that in the beer world, like, we didn't think years ago that it was possible that the little guy could overtake the big corporate beers, but they've done a really good job of marketing themselves. Are you finding, if I'm a hardcore, staunch, big brand whiskey drinker or spirit drinker of any kind, are more and more people open to the minds or the mindset of giving the small person a chance?
I think today more and more people are looking for something new, because they're basically, the idea is they don't want to miss out. They don't want to miss every, you know, the traditional drinker maybe from 30, 40, 50 years ago, they pick one brand that they like and they drink. They're a Kokanee drinker, they're a Kokanee drinker, they're a Kokanee drinker, and that's what they are for life, that's what their dad was, that's what their grandfather was, so on and so forth down the line. Whereas, you know, people today, I find more, they want to try that new thing, because you know what, there might be something out there better that you haven't tried yet. And I think that we really are getting a lot of that in this market, especially in the West Coast, especially in Vancouver, we're in a great spot for it. But people definitely want to give that extra, they want to give that small batch a try, because you know what? That might be the best product that they've ever had. And we've had a lot of customers that once they've tried it, they don't want to go back. They say, hey, that's, say, the best vodka I've ever had, or that's the best gin I've ever had, and that's their product now. You know, they may want to try and dabble in other things too, but yeah, definitely people are giving the little guy more of a chance. And they also know that the product is almost always a better quality when you're talking about a small batch versus a large batch. You're dealing with handcrafted products. You're dealing with local ingredients. You're dealing with people that are working locally in their community, and it just, it's a completely different process and a different product, I find.
Okay, so you are tucked away in South Vancouver on Marine Drive, but you are a place where you can arrange tastings, but you can't just walk in and have a cocktail.
Yeah, so basically, because of the situation where we're at in our production, we do some private tastings and tours, but we only do them by appointment. So if you want to get a hold of us, you can go through our website or any of our social media, shoot us a message, and we can set something up. We're always happy to have guests down and kind of show off our space. But as far as what we do, it's mostly just production. So we don't have a bar front. We don't have somewhere you can just kind of walk in. But we're always happy to share our products with people who are interested.
So I thought it'd be kind of cool, because this is the month of Valentine's, and again, everything is different. Every occasion is different in the COVID times. Scott, you have enlisted the aid of a local chocolatier to pair with.
So yeah, we've gone with the Drunken Chocolatier, which is a favorite of ours. My partner and I get these all the time. It's one of our sort of weekly splurge treats. And so I brought four of their delicious chocolates paired with four of our cocktail series today.
Okay, so let's work our way down the line. What are we starting with?
So we're going to start off with our blue Negroni. Now, this is a bit of a twist from a traditional Negroni. It's using our blueberry kombucha liqueur instead of vermouth. It's a little bit less sweet and a little bit less bitter than a traditional Negroni. Really accessible, really easy to get to. You know, just a great sessionable Negroni, well-balanced. And what we're doing is we're pairing it with a rosemary chocolate from the Drunken Chocolatier.
Wow, that's really nice. Now, for those that don't know what a Negroni is, why don't you sort of walk us through it?
So it's an Italian traditional cocktail. The basic recipe usually is Campari, gin, and sweet vermouth in equal parts. Like I said, we've modified the ingredients a little bit. Instead of using Campari, we've made our own in-house Amaro. So it's sort of a bitter liqueur that's got lots of spices in it. So, you know, you've got your rosemary, you've got your thyme, all kinds of different herbs in there. And then instead of the vermouth, we've used our blueberry kombucha, which has a nice tannic finish. So definitely a lighter take on the classic Negroni. But yeah, this is one that most bars, any bartender worth their salt knows how to make a good Negroni. And right, most of them have their own kind of twists and variations too.
Okay, moving down the line, what's number two?
Number two, we're going to jump into our S'mores Old Fashioned. So most of these are twists on classics. So the S'mores Old Fashioned is something we make with our white single malt. It was a popular one. We used to make it at a lot of events, and finally we decided that we would make this ready to go for people to have at home. And so it's a traditional Old Fashioned build, brown sugar. We use our white single malt, and then instead of we basically use an aromatic bitter similar to Angostura. And then we add chocolate bitters and vanilla as well. So sort of this sort of s'moresy, a little bit sweet aromatically. And what we've paired that is actually we paired it with the old fashioned chocolate from the Drunken Chocolatier, which is, sorry, this one. Ooh, I'm out of order there. This is the old fashioned from the Drunken Chocolatier, and they actually use our old fashioned in this chocolate as well. So right in the same there.
Okay, moving down the line, Godfather. What's this all about?
So. I'm eating chocolate now, so this is hard. This is a Godfather. Godfather traditionally is a cocktail made with scotch and amaretto. Again, we've done our own little twist on it. We've done our own sort of botanical maceration. But it's going to be that almondy, a little bit of vanilla, brown sugar. It's going to have those sort of rich sweetness. All of these cocktails are ones you just pour over ice and just basically don't need anything else to enjoy. And this one we've paired with a salted egg yolk from Drunken Chocolatier.
Okay.
I was going to say, the Godfather is quite a bold, strong flavor, and the salted egg yolk's a little bit lighter, a little bit softer, a little bit more delicate, an easier one to go down with that. So.
Okay, so again, we're going to try the fourth one, but these are just recommendations, but they do pair nicely with chocolates. And again, I don't know if, I mean, beer and chocolates pair well together too. I guess there's really nothing you can't pair chocolate with.
You know what? There's nothing you can't pair anything with if you know what you're doing. And food and alcohol pairings are really, you know, they're enhancing every part of the experience. They're enhancing the drink. They're enhancing the food. And if it's done well, it's it just it the whole experience is elevated. Go ahead.
So we're going down to our fourth and final cocktail combination now. What are we looking at?
So the final one right here, this is another old-fashioned variation, and this is one we do in partnership with a group called the BC Whiskey Wizards, which is sort of a men's mental health support group. It's kind of turned into from original, it's an original inception was they would drop random gifts at people's houses when COVID first started to sort of uplift people's spirits, and it's really evolved into this really great sort of positive supportive group. So we've worked with them as a bit of a fundraiser, and this is our smoked old-fashioned. So this is, again, a similar build to what we did with the smoked old fashioned, the s'mores old fashioned, but instead of the chocolate and vanilla, we've added a smoked bitters as well. So we make our own smoked bitters, so it's got this really nice, rich, kind of smoky, think like Isla scotches. It's got this beautiful sort of finish on the back end here, and we've paired that with a tiramisu chocolate. So this is a nice bit of sweetness to go with it. It just sort of brings it home. It's got those nice lighter characteristics to go with the smokiness, so things aren't overpowering each other too much. It's just easy and refreshing. It just kind of helps.
Where is Mad Lab Spirits available? Are you finding more and more places where you can get shelf space in liquor stores?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're in about 120 private liquor stores across Lower Mainland right now, and growing all the time. But we do have we do sell online as well, madlabdistilling.com, and it also has a list that might be a little bit out of date, but it's got a list of the stores that carry all the various products as well.
Any plans to maybe do some retail store or retail service where your facility is on Off Marine Drive there?
We may open that up in the future. We do have kind of limited hours because of the nature of our production, and we're a little bit sporadic, and we're kind of there pumping out as hard as we can and fast as we can. So maybe down the line, but for now, if you do want to pick up some stuff, we do the online sales, and you can pick up at a distillery. We do local shipping, free local shipping over $50. So you know, it's easy enough to get it to your door.
Well, thanks to the Drunken Chocolatier for providing the sweets, and again, thanks to Mad Lab for providing the juice. And again, this is available at your location, or you can actually do this online as well. It's a great story. Congratulations. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
The Real Deal can be heard on the RTD Show on Sportsnet 650 and 96.9 FM HD3. Follow Lifestyle Coach Ryan on Twitter at RDFit, on Instagram at Real Deal Fitness, and on his website, lifestyletransformations.ca.
Back on Sportsnet 650 AM, also 96.9 FM, HD3, from AJ's Brooklyn Pizza Joint, and certainly a close neighbor of AJ's Brooklyn Pizza, and a friend of the show, the legend himself, Mr. Sean Layton, proprietor of Como Taperia. How are you, buddy?
Joe, I'm great, thanks. Great to be back. Great to be back at AJ's. I was actually here 24 hours ago watching the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I spend a lot of time here. So it's great to be here, and it's great to be on.
I understand you had a little more Super Bowl success than perhaps I experienced.
Yeah, I think when you, at the end of the day, when all the bets that I did make, I ended up in the positive, had a great time as well, had some great pizza with a couple of good friends. It wasn't necessarily the result that I was betting for, but I think it was a great game. It was a good time.
Well, last time we spoke on airwaves, Mr. Layton, was pre-COVID, and oh, how things have changed so dramatically, and I know that you were at the forefront early on when patio extensions were being granted. At the end of the day, COVID aside, I mean, it's hard to take COVID out of the equation, but how have you been faring, generally speaking?
COVID aside, things right now are okay at best, but considering, the fortunes of other cities, friends of mine in other cities around the world, I feel very fortunate. The restaurant's doing okay, but it's nothing like it was a year ago. We are coming off more momentum, than I've ever been a part of when it comes to a restaurant. We were a year old. We had won multiple awards, like, you know, number best new restaurant in Canada, number two, multiple local awards, and we were on a roll. And then, you know, COVID hit, and it was like hitting a wall. Since then, you know, we've pivoted like everybody else has, and all things aside, you know, most of our staff are still employed. We're only open 5 days a week, but at least we're open, and every month it seems like things are getting better. But I wouldn't say it's easy. I wouldn't say it's awesome, but at least we're open and at least people are still employed.
Your industry had a bit of a gut punch, the New Year's Eve debacle, which you got the word the day before New Year's Eve that you couldn't have a New Year's Eve as traditional. And again, you know, not that you were affected by Super Bowl, because that's not your milieu, if you will. But what do you see going forward? I mean, do you think that there's any reason for optimism that some of those hours that were shaved off of your industry, will they slowly come back in the foreseeable? And by foreseeable, I mean within, say, the next 90 days.
I don't think it's going to happen in the next 90 days. I really hope it does. And I really hope that things just start to get better in general, because I watch the case numbers every single day, like I'm sure a lot of people do and every restaurateur in the city does. And I think things are on the downward trend in Vancouver and in BC. It seems like we're doing a very good job. So I really hope that, you know, the message out there starts to get better, because I'm in the restaurant almost every day, and I'm in there almost every day when we're open, and I know that we are very safe. I visit a lot of my friends' restaurants, and I know that they're very safe. And so I just hope that the message, you know, continues to be and get better, that restaurants are safe and restaurants are great places to hang out. And I know that a lot of operators spent a lot of money and a lot of time, and it's very stressful, but are doing a very good job. And so I really hope that, you know, the message gets better, and I hope that you know, people keep being optimistic. And I really, you know, thank all of our loyal customers and my staff for doing such a great job during this time. And it's only going to get better. I just hope it gets better quickly, because I think that things are going very well. You know, it's winter right now, but spring's coming. Patios are going to be open again, and I hope to have a very good summer, because the winter hasn't been great. But, you know, things could be worse. We're happy to be open. And, yeah, compared to a lot of other cities in Canada and around the world, I feel very fortunate.
He is Sean Layton of Como Taperia on Sportsnet 650. Now, I want to ask you, because you use the word messaging, I think there's kind of a convoluted system of messaging out there, and there's various messages, or people are perceiving them differently, they're hearing them differently than maybe they're being intentionally given. So for those that aren't clear, what can and you cannot do these days going to a restaurant?
Well, so the rules for the restaurant and the restaurateur and for my staff is, you know, we have to make sure that people are distanced. We have to make sure that customers are wearing masks while moving around the restaurant, as well as our staff wearing masks. We need to close by 10 p.m. Those are the rules. And then there's a lot of recommendations that, you know, are being followed, like things like contact tracing, temperature checks, which we are doing. You know, there's recommendations on who people hang out with and who they come in with. And that's something that that's up to the guests. It's not up to us to police. And, you know, I think us in particular, I think we have great clientele, and our clientele has been very well behaved in our space. And, you know, most of our groups are smaller, but we do get some groups that are a little, you know, bigger, but legal, you know, under six. The messaging, a lot of people don't know if what is the law or not, and what the difference between a recommendation and a rule is. So the absolute rules are things like distancing and plexiglass, as well as masks. But, you know, we're doing all the things that we can do, including recommendations. But, you know, we get a lot of people that call us for reservations, or, you know, ask us in the restaurant if certain things are okay because they heard it on the news or what have you. So I think just more of a clear message would be great. And also a bit more support to go hang out at restaurants, because we are the safest places when it comes to businesses. Like, I've been in liquor stores, I've been in Pacific Center, and even me, and I'm a very, you know, I'm out around people every single day. I've been in a couple places in malls and liquor stores where I've even felt like, holy cow, this is crazy. And I'm in a restaurant every single day, but I know that our restaurant is safe. You know, we've got twice the HVAC that is required for our restaurant, so our air circulation is incredible. So I feel completely safe. But it's the first time when I went into a liquor store and also into like a mall, I was like, holy cow, why is there so much, you know, bad stigma towards us, but there isn't towards those places?
Well, I've said for a long time, I think the bars and restaurants are the low-hanging fruit, and it's the easiest thing to punish. Oh, let's just take more time away from the bars. It'll keep the spread down. And as you said, I mean, I've talked to a number of people, as I know you have, there's no significant spread through that established, that type of establishment. So again, I think they've been unfairly hit, and I'm hopeful that it's part of the ongoing conversation. I know you have some spokespeople for the hospitality industry. I hope they're, you know, seriously making plays every day or every week to get updated situations, because we want to get this thing back to normal. We don't want to do it unsafely. But I will ask you this, in the people that you confer with in the industry, are you finding that they're saying, generally speaking, the vast majority of customers are compliant and getting along, or they're not taking offense if they're told to separate? Are most people doing a decent job of following the guidelines?
Absolutely. I saw my first anti-masker and I was at a grocery store, and no one was doing anything. The person was just walking around freely. No one said a word to them. And so I know that if someone comes in our establishment without a mask, I'm telling them to leave. And my staff all know they can tell them to leave. And that doesn't happen. And our clientele has been amazing. And, you know, I'm in touch with a lot of restaurateurs, and I think it's that way across the board. Now, I don't know if it's like that across the province, but I do know definitely in our neighborhood, maybe we're just lucky and we have great clientele, but people are behaving and people are, you know, trustworthy of these restaurants. But there is a lot of people that maybe it's their first time out, or we get phone calls when they don't know if they're allowed to come out, or they call asking what we're doing, and we'll gladly tell them because they're unsure. And I think maybe they're unsure just because of, maybe they just watch the news every day and they don't listen to what is actually happening out there. And maybe they just follow certain Twitter feeds where it sounds like restaurants are the worst place to hang out. But it's actually like, we're actually the best place to hang out. And it is extremely safe. So I just think moving forward, a positive message towards restaurants, especially with patios probably opening again within a couple months, winter finishing and spring starting. And also, you know, people are being vaccinated. I know it's taking a while, another subject, but, you know, I just hope moving forward, we've done this for almost a year and we've all sacrificed a lot. We've all spent a lot of money. We've all, you know, it's costed restaurants a ton of money. I think moving forward, I just hope that there's a positive message towards going out, because people are getting really comfortable staying home. You can get anything delivered to your house in a heartbeat. And I just hope that when, you know, all this bounces back, people remember that all the hard work restaurants did. And people, I hope that the ones that aren't coming back yet do come back and, you know, realize that, you know, we've all done a lot of hard work and a lot of sacrifices, and you know, a lot of us still aren't standing. So I hope that, you know, people support that.
So one final question, and it's kind of a prediction. Assuming that they get the handle on this and the vaccines start to roll out at a quicker rate and more people are starting to sort of feel safer and more secure, do you think there's going to be an absolute spending bonanza once people decide, hey, it's time to go back out to bars and restaurants and what have you?
That's a great question, Joe. We've already noticed our average check is up. When people do come out, they are spending more, they're happy to be out, they're very appreciative. I think, well, I was talking about someone the other day, I think 90% of our clientele has gotten even better and more grateful, and that other 10% maybe have gotten less, but that 90% is hands and toes above everybody else. And I think that I keep hearing this roaring 20s thing that's going to happen again, and I really hope it does, because I think people are ready. A lot of people have made money during this, I guess, but people are, you know, starved for interaction and socialization, and, you know, just supporting small businesses and big businesses. But I think that, you know, people are ready to go. And also, us being a huge tourist destination, whenever that does happen again, it probably won't be this year, but maybe it will. I think we're going to be the number one destination in Canada, as we always are. And I think, you know, a lot of people from all over the world are going to want to come to Vancouver, so I think that'll help out. We're not really a tourist restaurant, but I think it will help out a lot of our peers. I just think, yeah, there's going to be, you know, once this is over, or even when it's like starting to be finished, I think there's going to be a boom. And yeah, I really do hope it's the roaring 20s again.
Okay, one final question then, Sean. Some of the allowances that councils, governments have made, some concessions they've made to your industry to sort of help you through the bad times, to my eye and my ear, I'm not seeing reports of like trouble with curbside dining and things like that. Do you have reason to believe that whatever is temporary right now might just become the new way of life going forward?
Well, first things first, it was supposed to happen before COVID, and it got implemented during wholesale pricing for restaurants, which should have happened decades ago, got implemented during COVID. And it wasn't because of COVID, because we've been asking for it forever. So to me, it's like a no-brainer, so that needs to continue. As well as, it's nice that restaurants can do off-sales as well. I think that you can, you know, 90% of restaurants, the staff know more than your average, you know, BCL liquor store when it comes to product knowledge. So I think that's another thing that could be great. Also, like, you know, if they keep things up, like distancing and masks, I hope that they do keep up, you know, the subsidies, because restaurants can't operate at 50% capacity. And there's a lot of people that think that, oh, well, you can just do takeout. Well, most restaurants don't make money off takeout. And if they're using the apps, they're losing money. So if, you know, distancing continues to be a thing, as well as plexiglass and masks, et cetera, and capacities are reduced, then that support needs to stay for restaurants. Because the second you pull those subsidies and you have these, you know, regulations like distancing in small restaurants like Vancouver, where you're paying more square foot rent than anywhere in the country, it's not going to work, us included. We're a very small restaurant. We're 58 seats right now. When we're full, we have maybe 35, 37 people in there. We can't survive without those subsidies. Even us, and we're busy most of the time, it doesn't work. So if, you know, they keep those things like distancing, it's not going to work without the subsidies.
Well, you know what? All we can say is stay the course, because we know that there are better days ahead. Sean Layton of Como Taperia. Thanks, man. Always good to see you.
Thanks, Joe. Always a pleasure.
The RTD Show, Ciders, Sodas, and Cocktails on Sportsnet 650, sponsored by Avant-Garde Hair Studio in Yaletown and stylist Bailey Murphy. Avant-Garde is renowned for their creative hair makeovers, winning the Canadian Session Stylist of the Year Award, and are two-time Makeover of the Year winners at the North American Hair Stylist Awards. If it's a cut, highlights, fade, color correction, or just a bold new look, visit Avant-Garde in Yaletown and ask for stylist Bailey Murphy for all your hairstyling needs. Avant-Garde Hair Studio, 1075 Mainland Street.
Is the RTD Show, Ciders, Sodas, and Cocktails on Sportsnet 650 and 96.9 FM HD3. Time now for the real deal. Enjoy those ready-to-drink beverages while maintaining a healthy lifestyle. It can be done. Just ask Ryan from RD Fitness of LifestyleTransformations.ca.
He is Ryan Douglas of RD Fitness, the real deal on Sportsnet 650 AM, also 96.9 FM. HD3. Well, it's post-Super Bowl, Ryan, and like other people, I probably overindulged a little bit. I was not too bad on the food. The beverages probably were a little bit excessive. But I found that today in the gym, I don't have the energy. Does that happen to people?
Oh, it happens to everyone. It happened to me. I couldn't even sneak away from it. You know, I was at a little family thing, all safe within my bubble. And sure enough, the platters came out. And before you know it, one piece of sushi turned into two. And it became a little bit of much. But here's the thing. There's no need to feel guilty. You don't want to just sit around and do nothing about it. It's time to work that off. It's time to get back in the gym and actually do something, you know? You may not feel like it at first, but now's the time. You don't want that to sit on you. You don't want it to store up, because what that's going to do is it's going to transform into fat. That's what calories do. You eat too much, those calories are going to turn into fat.
Well, we talked about this before, because you're also practicing lifestyle coaching and dietary considerations and all that, but there's just some days that you just don't have it, and I think that's probably normal of a lot of people. Like, there may be nothing wrong with you, it's just for whatever reason one day you're kind of blah.
Yeah, and that's natural. It happens to everyone. I saw that actually first week back in the gym. A lot of people, like, a little bit slower than usual, but it's important that you show up. Yeah. And it might be a little bit harder to dig deep, but you got to find that motivation within you somewhere to just get out there and get in the gym, go out there for some walks, and start cleaning up your diet a little bit. It might be a little bit harder because you're feeling slow and sluggish, but this is where you got to dig deep and tap into that inner motivation.
So as we approach the middle part of February here, obviously, you know, we're still kind of in the winter mode, but spring hopefully isn't that far down the road. And a lot of people usually target spring or summer when they start shedding clothing because they want to look good. What kind of time frame would you say to somebody that has not yet considered a lifestyle coach, personal training? What kind of program could you put them on, and what kind of progress could they expect to make, say, between now and the beginning of good weather?
Personally, I think now's a great time to start. A lot of people, when I see a big influx of in the gym, is actually about like a little bit in the summer because it's hot out. People have already shed down some clothing and people are like, ooh, it's a little late now and I should have been in the gym already. Yeah. But listen, it's a great time to start now if you want to preparing for when the sun comes out because then you can feel confident and feel good about the progress that you've already made in the gym. So what we've been putting people on right now is a spring into fitness program where we're getting people just starting to get the wheels moving. That's the biggest thing, is gaining momentum early, and that way you don't need to be so restrictive on the diet to actually get in the shape if you start a little bit earlier.
Now, I know that because of the COVID protocols, you're not able to, you work at the Georgia Athletic Club in downtown Vancouver. You're not allowed to have as many people as previous. So I guess you can't co-train with someone these days, but down the road, could say a couple or just a couple of guys, a couple of girls that wanted to work out together, can you co-train?
Absolutely. I think we got to listen for restriction. When those ease up, we can open it up. But right now, our facility is completely safe, sanitized, and spacious for one-on-one personal training. I offer online coaching as well. So what I do is I design a program that you can do with whatever you have available. So if you want to do it in your living room, your home gym, or a gym near you, I can design a program for you, a nutrition plan, so that you can start seeing results now. And when you're ready to get in the gym, maybe with a partner or a friend, hey, it's a little bit more affordable to partner up with a friend to get in the gym, but if you're able to, you know, now's the time to get in with a coach, because you can really start seeing results now. Get, like I said, get those wheels moving.
He's Ryan Douglas. How do people find you on social?
Check me out at Real Deal Fitness on Instagram, or you can check out my personal Instagram, Coached by RD. That's the progress that I make with my personal clients. Check me out, lifestyletransformations.ca, or even RD Fitness Vancouver on Facebook.
Thanks, Ryan. Cheers.
Thanks, Joe.
The Real Deal can be heard on the RTD Show on Sportsnet 650 and 96.9 FM HD3. Follow Lifestyle Coach Ryan on Twitter at RDFit, on Instagram at Real Deal Fitness, and on his website, lifestyletransformations.ca.
It is the RTD Show, Cider, Sodas, and Cocktails, Sportsnet 650 AM radio, also 96.9 FM, HD3, broadcasting from AJ's Brooklyn Pizza at 325 East Broadway, across from the Kingsgate Mall. This is kind of special because we've talked on the show a long time about the innovative ways that people have found to get something cool in a can. There's got Damon here from Super Collider. Damon, you are sort of work with the Mod Beverage we've had on the show many times to launch something pretty unique.
Yeah, absolutely. So Super Collider is my agency, and we do a lot of packaging design and brand development for tons of people. But yeah, we use Mod quite a bit, and we had some, you know, mutual ideas, and we also had some mutual connections. You know, me being with Donnelly Group for like a decade, an idea came forth through the Mod guys for us to develop a new style of RTD that we thought people would like, and something that all of our experience could lend to a little bit, and came up with something we're calling Company Cocktails. Mod's started a cocktail culture sort of division of their business, and the first part of that is this kind of innovative cocktail in a can called Company Cocktails, and we're here to talk about launching that today.
Okay, and of course this launch is March 1st, but you've decided to launch it with a longtime friend of mine and a person very well acquainted with the cocktail culture in BC, Mr. Trevor Cayley, the bar and beverage director of the Donnelly Group. TK, good to see you, man. How you been?
Yeah, doing good, Joe. Typically, you and I talk about beer, so this is going to be definitely a different page out of that book.
Now, you've been flipping cocktails behind the wood for a number of years, a number of bars over the course of time, and you really know your cocktail thing. You've been involved with Tales of the Cocktail. Like you are probably one of the super presidents of cocktail culture in British Columbia. What was the concept like when it was first pitched to you? Like, really? I'm going to do a cocktail but put it in a can? Did that make sense to you initially?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, we started talking about this all like close to, what, eight, 9 months ago was the first kind of conversation that we had about this. I had a really, really short talk with one of the guys out at Mod Beverages over a year ago. But, I mean, basically in 2020 and 2021, cocktails just need to be accessible. And, I mean, for me, that was like the biggest takeaway. It's like, let's make something that's super easy, super accessible. So the cocktail in the can makes nothing but sense. And the only obstacle you come across is like, how do we get something that is like upscale and super delicious and, you know, comparable to what you would experience at a bar into that can.
So, Damon, then you team up, of course, with Mod Beverage to start marketing this thing. What was the trial and error process like to get it just right?
Yeah, we just drank cocktails all the time. No, we did do that. This concept's, though, a bit different than a cocktail in a can, because that's not really that innovative or new, right? Cocktails in cans, you can go now, years and years now. If you lived in Australia 20 years ago, I remember backpacking, they had Jack and Cokes in a can. You know, this, it's a bit newer to us, but it's not anything innovative or mind-blowing. This concept's a bit different than that. It's not just making an old-fashioned in a can. You know, but by the way, getting TK to put an old-fashioned in a can, you'd probably get a pretty delicious old-fashioned in a can. But that's not the concept with company cocktails here. This is a partnership that we wanted to embark on with TK. And tapping into his, like you said, decades of experience in building the cocktail community, not even Vancouver, but you mentioned Tales of Cocktail, in North America, in the world. He's been all over the place. And I've been his friend for 2 decades, and I've been slurping cocktails from the guy since before I even knew what an old fashioned was. It was terrible, by the way. I'm a beer guy. But he's got this wealth of body of experience that is so proprietary to his business that you would never have an opportunity to get a cocktail from TK unless you went and, you know, saw him behind the wood specifically there. So the concept of the company cocktail is something new and custom. It's tapping into that brain of TK and other of these kind of famous bartending personalities that exist in North America and bringing out of them their best cocktail idea to put in a can. And that's what's definitely going to separate the company cocktails as we partner up with specific bartenders, noteworthy individuals with accolades and years of work and success behind them to come up with something that that is unique and different and special.
Well, you're launching March 1st, and you're coming out of the gate strong, and with the aid of someone such as TK and his pedigree, I'm guessing it's not a vodka soda in a can. TK, I'm sure you've worked long and hard to create something pretty unique.
Yeah, no, we took a step away from the vodka soda in a can. This is the first one's called Lucky You. It's a gin-based cocktail, and the nuts and bolts of it are it's a long, effervescent drink, so it's going to be a carbonation. And then other key ingredients to round out the cocktail, ginger, turmeric, lemon, and just a little bit of sweetener in there as well.
So was there any challenge in having like things like turmeric and all of that? Because generally speaking, part of the cocktail is the unique appearance of the cocktail, and it's sort of mouth-watering to look at. Were you faced with any challenges in trying to replicate some of those flavors in a prepackaged product?
You know, that was actually the very first meeting we had, was to talk about all the different challenges. And, you know, I brought all of the hesitations that I had based on the ingredients to the front line. And, you know, the guys out at Mod Beverage are just, they're so talented with coming up with ingredients and figuring out stability in what's going to happen inside that can over the duration of however many, you know, days, weeks, or months. And, no, basically the way that we all figured everything out is everything's turned out perfectly.
So, Damon, initially I would have thought that it's probably an odd time to launch something new and we're still kind of in some degree of lockdown, but actually that's not the case because people are curious to try a new product.
Oh, man, if you like, I don't know about you, but I definitely, you know, the time that it was appropriate for me to crack a delicious alcoholic beverage during the week went down by about a half hour every day starting last March. So, yeah, I know it's a weird time, but I think people are exploring and looking after interesting things. I think the market has shown that, though, and we rely on somebody like Mod Beverage, actually, to help sort of direct the market part of this. And that's where a lot of this is driven from, this consumer insight. So we do feel like there's a definite need and want for something like this. And yeah, you mentioned, like, people are looking for something different because we've all been through our repertoire of alcoholic beverages in the last year, right? We've been drinking at home for a year. It's actually a perfect opportunity to introduce something that people might not have seen before.
So speaking of seeing, give me the gist of the appearance of the product. Like, how is the packaging?
Well, this is the cool thing. So my agency is a branding and packaging agency, and so part of the concept here is working directly with these bartenders. We're going to generally do 3 a year. We have people lined up for all of 2021, and we work with TK and get inside what he does, his process, things that are important to him, how he developed the specific recipe for Lucky You. We challenge the bartenders and say, I mean, frankly, TK could hop behind the bar at AJ's here, and no matter what they've got behind the counter, and probably come up with a delicious cocktail for us out of scratch. He's been doing this for so long. We challenged him to say, okay, we're going to put it in a can now. But it's still got to have your name on it and be as delicious as a TK cocktail from behind the bar. We want a unique ingredient. You know, we want you to challenge that part of your recipe making skills. And he happened to come up with ginger and turmeric, which are like two crazy, cool, interesting things. So in terms of the development and branding, we work directly with each bartender to develop the name. The packaging, super cool. The story behind what's on the Lucky You label is something that's like really, really close to TK and what he does. You can learn more about that as we launch the product. You'll see it on our social channels, and we really get into that story behind how we developed this product alongside him and not just slap a label on a can for him.
So, Trevor, if I dare be so bold, could I literally take this and take it home and pour it over some rocks in a nice fancy glass and sort of take credit for it myself?
I mean, that's exactly what the instructions on the can would have been, right? Yeah. So it's just that's the whole idea. It should be accessible to anybody just by either drinking it ice cold or pouring it over some ice, and we're good to go.
So this is an ongoing series, Damon. So what kind of role are we looking at? So March 1st is the Lucky You, which is Trevor Cayley's debut with the cocktail. What is the plan going forward? And also, how available will this be?
It'll be available to purchase at any private liquor store that exists right out the gates. I know there'll be at Legacy's already, like, Daryl and those guys are like, bring it on. So immediately out the gates, you're going to be able to find it at Legacy Liquor Store. Best thing to do is to ask if they don't have it to get it. That's kind of how these things work with these introductory products, right? There's not a giant catalog. You got to pitch them, and people have to proactively go buy them. You guys talk about that a lot. And in terms of rollout, so our intention is to do 3 a year. Our next one should come out in June with another renowned local bartender. And then in the fall, we'll have another one. We're going to go back east and dig into some of our contacts and our friends back there and have some development started. So we're already working on the recipes for the next two. And that's the plan, is to have 3 a year. And we have some really big plans for how we decide who gets to be the next bartender in a company cocktail. But we're going to start with T. Callie's.
Are you nervous? You excited? What's the emotion, TK?
There's not a lot of nerves. I mean, these guys did all. Yeah, I mean, thanks, Joe. These guys did all the heavy lifting. To be honest with you, I mean, the recipe creation was one part of it. The tasting process was super fun, and we had a great time, like going back and forth. I mean, we went, you know, from the initial concept meeting to the final recipe meeting. We had a ton of fun talking about different ingredients, tasting different like variations thereof. It's excitement more than anything else. Like, it's going to be really cool to be able to walk into a place like Legacy Liquor Store, see my name on a can, and see something like sold to the masses that would have otherwise only been, you know, the 10 seats at the wood at the cocktail bar.
Yeah, and that's another great concept too. It's a big part of community here, Joe. Like, we're not TK is going to have a piece of this product too. It's something that you kind of dream about as a hospitality service worker, especially if you make it your career. You have a couple directions you go in, right? So most of the time, if you want to open your own bar, now that's a pretty hard thing to do. This is another unique sort of innovative introduction that these folks that have and put the work in can now have a real product on the market that they really make money from, that they really made themselves, they can be proud of, they can talk about it, and they can help us do things like this and, you know, be an ambassador to not just where they work, but for the own product that they made, they put some blood, sweat, and tears into, use their experience, and they can go out in the world and help share it with everybody. And so all of us take a little piece of that, and all of the bartenders do as well. I think
it sounds super exciting. And were these normal times, I'm sure there'd probably be some big splashy launch party somewhere or some kind of rollout that would allow people to try this. These aren't normal times, but is there going to be maybe a belated launch once all this crap is done?
Yeah, absolutely. We're gonna do it up real good once we get an opportunity to. Yeah, you're right. It's real tough to plan around these things. We don't really know what's happening. TK still works, you know, with Donnelly Group, and I talk to him all the time, and it's like the goalposts change every week for them. So yes, absolutely. There's going to be something going on, and we'll let you know when that happens.
TK, the pedigree is huge, and as far as cocktails go, you're totally on point. So I know it's going to be a hit. Thanks for joining us. Cheers.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Joe. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much.
It's Vancouver's hottest selling segment in the world of spirits today. Cider, sodas, and cocktails. And you've got it exclusively on Sportsnet 650. Once again, your hosts, Joe Leary and Legacy Liquor Store spirits educator, Daryl Lamb.
Back at AJ's Brooklyn Pizza at 325 East Broadway, across from the Kingsgate Mall, just in from Main Street. I'm Joe Leary, Daryl Lamb, of course, from Legacy Liquor Store, and this is the RTD Show on Sportsnet 650 AM, 96.9 FM, HD3. Longtime friend of the show, Mr. Eugene Park from Wise Beverages. Good to see you, man. How are you?
Oh, yeah. Great to be back. How's it going?
Well, it's going through the motions. But again, we live in such crazy times right now that it's kind of unfortunate, because you have to wonder how any business that's launching new product, how much more successful they might have been right from the get go had we not had the restrictions that are in place. But you guys have been killing it with your series of nostalgia, and apparently you're about to launch a new flavor. So I guess that sounds good for you.
Yeah, it's honestly been crazy times, like super crazy times. But we obviously, just like every other business, we had to get pretty innovative and figure out ways to still get products to our people, and obviously safely. So we're launching Orangesicle, new flavor, which is like obviously creamsicle flavor, but those ice cream people trademarked it. So we're going with Orangesicle. And yeah, just that nice fresh orange and sweet vanilla taste, but without the sugar. It's going to complement the nostalgia line really, really nicely. Obviously, we already have root beer, vanilla cola, and cream soda, which has been a huge hit for all of 2020, and obviously starting into this year as well.
So I'm curious about how your process works, because again, you're obviously looking to try and find some more creative flavors. I mean, let's face it, the canned cocktail market is pretty heavily dominated by vodka sodas and things of that nature. But you're trying to find new, unique flavors that kind of think about sort of outside the box. So how does that process happen? So one of your team decides to try like a Tahiti treat and go, hey, man, this would be really good to put into our terms. How do you break that stuff down?
Oh, you're giving us some good ideas right now. we want to be different. Like, yeah, I feel like everyone says that, but we don't want to launch flavors anymore that other brands have, because obviously the market's kind of getting oversaturated with your limes or, your pineapples, whatever flavor. But yeah, like we took a gamble with these like soda pop flavors, and we figured like everyone grew up with pop. But the reason like we found most people gave up pop growing up is because the sugar, the chemicals, all the like crazy ingredients in this. But now we nailed down a recipe. It's literally just carbonated water, vodka, and natural flavors in essence.
Okay, so you've got as you said, you're canning the Orangesicle this week. But let's run through the current roster of what you have.
Yeah, so right now in front of us we have root beer, vanilla cola, and cream soda. And again, like all these flavors everyone had growing up, and they're all super, like I said, nostalgic. And we're trying to, I feel like not just alcohol, like every other kind of like whether fashion, TV, they're all throwing it back to the nostalgia 90s right now. And yeah, it's playing off really well. It was a pretty good gamble.
Have you? I don't want to hear about your hits and misses necessarily, but not every flavor is going to work in this adult beverage industry.
No, not at all. We have to be pretty particular. We're still doing the whole focus group thing before we launch flavors to make sure that this is what people want, and obviously the taste has to play a big part of it. Like, we're not just going to launch a flavor just because it sounds cool and then end up being like, tastes really bland or like boring. So yeah, we still do a lot of our research, due diligence, and yeah, a lot of parts.
I'm curious about the process of just getting the formula right, because from start to finish, it probably goes through a number of variations, does it not?
Oh yeah, it does. Like, we have to get the dosaging right. Like, obviously we have to keep the product at 5%. We don't want to make the mistake of like making it accidentally like 10%. But the dosages are very important. Luckily, we have someone on our team that comes from a lab background, and it's been obviously super helpful to getting the taste just right.
How are you planning to roll out new flavors? Are you getting good support from the private liquor stores, the government liquor stores? Are you finding more interest from places, establishments, say like AJ's Brooklyn Pizza, that are willing to take these things on board?
Yeah, like I guess the restaurants are, we're starting to develop our, bring in some more restaurant business, because like you can't just make a sugar-free root beer vodka soda behind the bar. Like, you can't really get like that good tasting like pop on the gun. So yeah, we're getting a lot of business from restaurants now, like especially around this Main Street area, supporting us just because it's something unique, and especially with pizza or burgers, like these soda pop flavors just complement it so well.
So by the time this show airs, you will have four flavors on the go. What's the long range for 2021? Have you got more things in development right now?
Always, yeah. So hopefully this summer we're going to come up with something new. We honestly, we don't even know what it is yet, but always, we're always on the kind of development side and seeing what like crazy stuff. But you know, going back, that Tahiti treat sounds really good.
I like the idea. Wise Vodka Soda, W-I-Z-E. Eugene Park, pleasure to see you, sir. Cheers.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Well, Daryl, pretty curious to try Eugene's fourth flavor, the orange sickle, which, I love that flavor to begin with. You can only imagine where they're going from here.
Well, I mean, there's so many different cool options that they've got. I mean, they, like you said earlier in the show, they picked their lane. They got the real cool, fun, funky stuff. And that thing was delicious. How fantastic was that?
Yeah, absolutely. So here's the thing. If in the meantime, people are a little reluctant to go into larger facilities to purchase, you still do a lot of online, don't you?
Absolutely. You go to legacyliquorstore.com. All of these products are there. We've got our full RTD line on there so that no matter where you are in British Columbia, you can get access to all of our fantastic products. You don't have to take the risk. If you're not willing to take the risk, we'll deliver it right to your door. We'll knock. We'll leave it. You don't have to meet anyone face-to-face just to get yourself a delicious taste of Wise.
And thanks, as always, to our friends at AJ's Brooklyn Pizza on Broadway across from the Kingsgate Mall. That's a wrap for the February show. Mr. Lamb at Legacy Liquor Store, if you want to geek out and nerd out and talk any sort of things in a can, in a bottle, in a box, whatever, Daryl Lamb is your man. We'll talk to you next month. Cheers.
Absolutely. How about that Leaf three-peat, eh?
We'll talk to you next month. Cheers.
Bye.
Cider, sodas, and cocktails. The RTD Show. And you've got it on Sportsnet 650.